during the day. What a lovely day. This never happens in England. The church has an away day and it rains like mad, so it's really lovely that it's been so good. I've been a Christian 3 months. It's my first church members meeting. My friend who led me to Christ said, we need to sit near the front because I think one of the deacons might hit my dad tonight. His dad was the pastor of the church. And I said, excuse me? And he said, oh, there's been a lot of problems in the life of our church. And I'd gone from Holy Communion and love and forgiveness on Sunday to one of the members might hit my dad tonight. And I think, is this Christianity? Is this real? And sadly it is, isn't it? That sometimes Christians don't live the way they should. I remember a friend telling me, he said, Ray, you do know what AOB stands for at the end of a business meeting? Yes, he said, it stands for any other bombs. Because there will be a few people who, it's almost as if they spiritually pull out the pin and are waiting for any other business just to throw in a few grenades, just to wreck church life. I said, is that how it is? And he said, that's how it can be. Sometimes Christians do let unwholesome talk come out of their mouths. They say things that wreck other people, destroy the life of the church, make everybody thoroughly miserable. You say, well, I've never met Christianity like that yet. The cynic of my age would say, just wait long enough. Can it be that bad? Well, alas, sometimes Christians, instead of building up the Church of Christ, tear it down. They don't encourage, but they do their very best to make life difficult. So Paul is writing to a group of Christians who potentially can wreck church life, just like you can. So he says, I'm writing to you that you sin not. Remember how John says that? I'm writing to you that you sin not. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. He doesn't just say speak the truth. He says speak the truth in love. Sometimes you need to restrain your own personal desire to say something and ask yourself the question, is this going to be helpful for the people listening? Sometimes you need to go and see a leader who can cope with what you're saying rather than just say it to a group of people randomly, whatever the impact. That's what he's saying. There was a time in my church leadership life that I had to say to a group of Christians, you're not allowed to just say what you want. You have to say what's helpful for building others up. If you want to say what you want, come and tell me and we'll talk it through. Because the church can't cope with any other bombs. It's too fragile. Now, thankfully, we've come through that phase of church life and the church is a strong and happier place. But Christians sometimes learn bad habits. And Paul is encouraging them to sin not. But what if you do say something really silly? Unkind. Destructive. Well, he goes on to give us this piece of advice. Forgive one another as God in Christ forgave you. That is a massively important insight. We will sometimes do things, say things that don't build the church up, and we realise, uh-oh, what do I do now? Now, most people who are Brits go politely silent on the issue. We'll pretend it never happened, but that's not a Christian way forward. The Christian way forward, whenever we offend, hurt, discourage a brother or sister, is to remember what Christ has done for us. God in Christ forgave you. How? Well, remember what John goes on to say. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us. We confess. What does that mean? It means you go up to the person or persons you've sinned against, offended, hurt, lied to, sworn at, and say, I was wrong. Will you forgive me? The mechanism of forgiveness starts with you, the guilty one, saying, I was wrong, will you forgive me? If you know you've done something that God would not want done, you have to say, I was wrong. A confession is an agreement that what I said or what I did or what I didn't say or what I didn't do was wrong. I need forgiveness. Will you forgive me? But forgiveness is granted on confession. You don't need to pretend. You don't need to promise. I'll never do it again. I'll always be a good boy from now on. No, we say, I was wrong. Will you forgive me? And when we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us. Now, what does that mean when he says, you're forgiven? What does it mean? I've thought about it too much. Just glad that it's never going to get me again. It's not going to hang over me. He's never going to bring it up again. That's the essence, is a promise. That I will never bring this up again. I won't bring it up to you to humiliate you in the future. I won't tell other people about it behind your back. I won't dwell on it myself and fight the fight all over again. Forgiveness is a promise that I won't bring it up again. Now, as a human being to a human being, there are four ways of doing it. I promise you I won't bring it up to you in the future. I promise you I won't bring it up to others. I won't dwell on it myself, and I won't even moan to God about you. I promise never to bring it up again. And that's what the granting of forgiveness is. A promise to never bring it up again. You forgive in order to forget. You say to yourself, I made you a solemn promise I would never bring this up again. And when I'm tempted to tell somebody else, bring it up at the next argument we have, I say, I promise never to bring it up again. That's how you forget. You don't forgive and forget. You forgive in order to forget. Because you say to your mind, you say to your will, you say to your heart, I promised, as God promised me, that he would never bring up my sins ever again. I will not bring up your sins. And once you start operating that and people realise you mean what you say, relationships are restored. Christians aren't perfect. We have, some of you know that book, title of the book, No Perfect People Allowed. That's the one rule we have at our church, No Perfect People Allowed. We assume Christians will sin. We are forgiven sinners. So what happens when we keep on sinning? We keep on forgiving one another. We forgive on verbal confession. So if you, husband, are a bit short with wife, you need to say to her, I was really selfish this evening. Will you forgive me? You don't say, I was selfish, but you. We don't play that silly game. Because you know that's what happens with sorry, don't you? What is the next word? I'm sorry. What's the next word? But. And normally it's, I'm sorry, but you. We normally blame shift when we say sorry. I say to our congregation, forget the word sorry. Never ever use it again. It's a hopeless word. You don't mean it anyway. You know what it is. I'm sorry. Well, of course you're not. But confession, I was wrong. Well, however you feel about that, whether you're sorrowful or not, you admit you were wrong. That's the essence of confession. I was wrong. No buts, no excuses. It was 90% your fault, though. No, I was wrong. Even if it was, I still mean it was wrong. Will you forgive me? And will you forgive me elicits a choice. No or yes. Simple as that. No, I won't forgive you. Or yes, I will. Now, a Christian who has been forgiven an enormous amount should be able to say, yes, I forgive you. Whatever comes at me horizontally is nothing compared to what God had to give me vertically. You know the parable Jesus said. And if you don't forgive one another, how can your heavenly Father? See, it's so important that what we experience vertically, we express horizontally. And we begin to realise just how amazing our forgiveness is from God our Father. Because you know how hard it is to keep that promise. When somebody has really been pretty nasty to you, to say, I was wrong, will you forgive me? Yes, I'll forgive you. You think, that is so hard, so costly. I have to take the pain into my own heart to give you a free forgiveness. And then you realise the infinite God did that at phenomenal cost to himself. Now, here's the thing. Some children have never heard a Christian father ever ask for their forgiveness. But they should have done, because I have never met a perfect Christian father. But I've met many children that said, my dad never asked me to forgive him. He lived as if I was the one in the wrong. He was never in the wrong. I had to say sorry. He never did. Is that how it is? But once you start modelling, I was wrong. I was a bit short-tempered tonight. I've asked mummy to forgive me. Will you forgive me? I suppose so, dad. Yep, great. Now you promise you never bring it up again. And that's what I do with your sins. Once you start modeling that within the family, the human family, you start modeling it in the family of the church, it means the church is a safe place. Because even if you foul up, you're still loved. The love that a church exhibits is not the love of perfect people who are just so adorable to be with. It is the love of forgiven sinners for other forgiven sinners. It means we can be sometimes very honest with ourselves and admit our failures without being crushed and without being made zeros. Because the promise is, I'll never bring it up again. Now, you know what Paul says to people? He says, don't let the sun go down without some of this being unresolved. Some of you husbands and wives, don't go to sleep before you say, I was wrong today, will you forgive me? It's dealt with behind you. You only have one day's memory. Just like the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. On a daily basis, you keep a short record with God. Keep a short record with one another. If you know, Jesus said, that there's something that you've done against a brother or they have against you, get it sorted before you worship. How do you get it sorted? I was wrong, will you forgive me? Yes, I forgive you. Great. We're friends again. Reconciled by the same power of the gospel that comes to me horizontally, I exhibit vertically, I exhibit horizontally. And that makes all the difference. Because otherwise the Christian church can end up being like the golf club. A bunch of friends who underneath the surface are all a little bit antagonistic towards another, but we all smile when we meet each other. We don't want to be like that. We want to be genuine disciples of an amazingly forgiving Christ. Know how it goes on? Live a life of love. Now the church talks the talk. Does it walk the walk? And when it starts experiencing the asking for forgiveness and the giving of forgiveness, starts in the family because the family sees our sins in a way that other people doesn't. When that's real, there's a new quality of grace about us in the home and in the church that means that outsiders really know there is something different about the church. Because nobody experiences this. The world is an incredibly unforgiving place. The world is a very legalistic place. The church is a place of tremendous grace. So, I write that you sin not. Don't deliberately go around to wreck the church by your words. Only say what is helpful for building others up. But if we sin, not only can we get forgiven by our Father, but our brothers and sisters. Make that promise. If you confess your sins, of course I forgive you. I promise never to bring it up again. Not to you, to anybody else, to God my Father, and I won't dwell on myself. And when that happens, that's when real love begins to make people aware the gospel is a quite wonderful thing. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we want this church to thrive and prosper. But that is not about plastic smiles manufactured. But it is about a genuine walk with you and a real love for one another, which goes through life's ups and downs and even life's sins and evils. For in the gospel is a power to overcome our deepest failure. And we can begin to model that and exhibit that towards one another. Give us all the grace with our nearest and dearest, with our close friends when we let them down. Sometimes in the life of the church when we realise that we've been just awkward, to say, I was wrong, will you forgive me? And we all prove what it means to have experienced the forgiveness that comes so freely in Christ. And as we exhibit that grace, may it be an attractive power to a desperately needy world. Build us up then in Christ and help us to serve you effectively. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
We're going to stand and we're going to sing again.